بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we start a new chapter, continuing with the chapter on the month of Ramadan. We start a new chapter, باب فضل السحور وتأخيره ما لم يخش طلوع الفجر. The chapter on the virtue of delaying the sihri, delaying the suhoor, and delaying it as long as one does not fear the breaking of dawn. One does not fear that the time of Fajr is coming in, then to delay it so much that it is now close to the time of Fajr, this is something that is preferable. Although a person may technically have something to eat much earlier, or before he sleeps, he makes niyat also that he wants to eat something for the fast, but the ideal is that a person delays it till just before the time of Fajr, try and delay it. Now, when you say delay it till just before, doesn't mean a person waits till the last minute. He gives himself a good few minutes before the time of Fajr comes in, but the fact that he's delaying it, he's not having it at the early part of the night, the very early part of the night. He's having it at the later part of the night. This is something that's preferable. But as I mentioned, doesn't delay it right till the last minute, in the last second. That is not something that is desirable. And Anas radiallahu anhu قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة متفق عليه. Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that have sihri, as there is a lot of blessings in it. There's a lot of barakat in having sihri. Now sometimes you might understand it, you might not understand it, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that have the sihri, don't miss out the sihri. There's a lot of barakat in the sihri. Ulama explained that it gives a person, we will go through the, some of the benefits of having sihri, but it helps a person's mizaj also to stay stable. Person's temperament to stay stable. When a person has sihri, if he is a hot-tempered person, then that helps his temper also to stay good for the day. If he doesn't have that sihri, he doesn't eat that morning meal before that fast, then you'll find this person will lose his cool very easily. Why he didn't have the sihri? So one of the things it helps is to maintain that moderation of mind, to keep that calmness of the mind. One of the things it helps is also that it helps a person for strength, it helps him with his ibadat, it helps him with his obligations. So this is some of the list of some of the things that the sihri helps a person for. It provides physical strength for the fasting person. It enables one to practice upon the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our desire and our ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be such that if this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's enough for us. We don't need to know any other benefit. But this is just as a means of mentioning it. We're mentioning it. But really for us, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be such that if it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is enough for us to practice upon. The next is it opposes the ways of the Jews and the Christians. They don't have such a thing as having sihri, the pre-dawn meal. They don't have this in their fasting. It opposes them. It provides strength for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It prevents sinful behavior which results from severe hunger. When a person is extremely hungry, then he does foolish things. He does crazy things out of extreme hunger. It prevents a person from this sinful behavior. It allows one to assist the needy who may require food at this time. Many times we find in, especially in other places where there are a lot of Muslims, you go to India, you go to Pakistan, and when everyone is up for sihri, and you've got extra food, you'll go and you look for somebody who needs that food for sihri. So a person who wakes up for sihri, he's able to assist. Why everyone now is eating at that one time, able to look for somebody who is in need of sihri, and give that person, find some food, give a person, so that he can also have sihri. He may be walking on the road, such a beautiful, if a person goes to these type of countries, the Arab world, etc. You see, there's a beautiful fiza, there's a beautiful feeling at the time of sihri. Everyone is awake, people are sitting, they're eating at the street corners, people are sitting and having a cup of tea. The whole community is up, and they're all participating in sihri. So it gives you a chance also, give something to the poor and needy. The next thing is a person gets the opportunity to make dua, he gets the opportunity to make zikr, he gets the opportunity to make tilawa during the last portion of the night, which is a very blessed time of worship, the time of tahajjud. Now because he's waking up for sihri, he's already up at the time of tahajjud, he's getting this opportunity of making the zikr, the dua, the tilawat, etc. And Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu قال تسحرنا مع رسول التحج تسحرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قمنا إلى الصلاة قيل كم كان بينهما قال قدر 50 آية متفق عليه. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu says that we had sihri with the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we proceeded to perform the Fajr Salah. someone had asked him, what was the time spent between the two? You're saying you had Sehri with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after Sehri you went to perform Fajr Salah. What was the time spent between the Sehri and the Fajr Salah? So he replied, Qadru Khamsina Ayah is the time it takes a person to recite 50 ayat of the Quran, 50 verses, roughly about 10-15 minutes after the Sehri, we read our Fajr Salah. Ulama explained, look how beautiful Sahaba would explain, that they would try and link even time with something that of the Ibadah. That they would link the time with the essence of Ibadah, how much it takes us to read 50 ayats, that's how long it took us to perform the Fajr, or that's how long it took between the Sehri and the Fajr Salah. So everything surrounding them was Deen. So everything about Deen, everything about connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll do one more hadith in return. Terminate. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qal, kana li Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'adhinan, Bilalun wabnu ummi maktoum. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two mu'adhins. One mu'adhin's name was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, and the other mu'adhin's name was Ibn ummi maktoum radiallahu anhu. He was the blind man. He was mu'adhin, and he was also a blind one. In other words, he couldn't see, but yet he would call out the azan. People that could see would inform him, now is the time of Fajr, now is the time of the other salat. They would inform him, and then he would call out the azan. But he himself couldn't see what time it was, whether it was bright, it was dark, etc. But other people would inform him. So in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi wa had two mu'azzin. One was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, and one was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بلالا يؤذن بالليل فكلوا واشربوا حتى يؤذن ابن أم المكتوم. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had told him. Now let's understand, in the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم there would be these two azans. Up till now, if you go to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, you'll see at the time of Fajr, or before the time of Fajr, there's two azans. So one is now approximately about an hour before the time of Tahajjud that azan is given. In the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Hazrat Bilal رضي الله عنه call out this azan. Azan before, long before the Fajr Azan, he would call it out. So those people that needed to wake up for Sehri, those people that needed to wake up for Tahajjud, those people that needed to eat, so they still got a chance now to eat, because this Azan has been called out. So this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, that generally Bilal is giving Azan at night, so you eat and you drink until you hear the Azan of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum. Why? Because فَقَالَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ بَيْنَ Because Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu, he would call out that azan just at the time of Fajr Salah. So that was the time that he would call out. So when Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu is calling out azan, continue eating. So now it was asked, قَالَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَنْزِلَ هَذَا وَيَرْقَى هَذَا. So it was mentioned that the time span between the two azans was long enough for one of them to come down and the other one to climb up. He would climb up at a high place and give azan at a high place. You may have remembered or may have seen in the old masjid, the masjid would climb up to a high place and he would give azan from a high place. So this also is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, there was no mic system, etc., where a person could call out the azan from. So they would climb up to a high place, and from a high place they would call out the azan, so the voice of the azan would reach much further. So the time span, he explained, was sufficient for one of them to come down and the other one to climb up and go and call out the azan. Enough time between these two azans. So up till now we find that this practice is continuing in the Haram Sharif, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, etc. You'll get these two azans. Just to quickly terminate, yesterday we were speaking about the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon seeing the new moon. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that occasion would make dua. Last night this Hazrat who gave a bayan of the Mukhti Tahir Sahib, he was explaining such was the connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'alluq he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in the battle of Khandaq, the trench, that we know that all the forces were against the Muslims, internally, externally, the Quraysh of Makkah, the Arab forces around Medina Sharif, and from within Medina Sharif, the Jews also, they also, although they had a pact with the Muslims, that they will not attack them, they will not join anybody to attack them, even on this occasion, they went against the pledge and the pact that they had. Every odd was against them. They were hungry. They were in a difficult condition. Hardly any clothes to wear. So all the enemies were against them. And in that condition, they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to do a dua for us to dig the trench now in the critical condition. After digging the trench, they asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is there any dua for us to read? And on that occasion also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, there is a dua for us. There is a dua for us to read. And then he explained, Allahumma astur awratina wa amin ruhatina. What a beautiful dua. Imagine, after doing everything to ensure that they could comply in that difficult condition, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching them a dua. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you hide our faults. Allah, cover our faults, cover our weaknesses. Imagine, what a level of ta'alluq with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then, oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you ease and you bring peace to that fear that we have in our heart. You ease that fear. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on to make dua. And oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allahumma ahfadna bin aydina wa min khalfina. And oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, protect us from the front, protect us from the back. وعن إيماننا وعن شمائلنا protect us from the right, protect us from the left. ومن فوقنا والله سبحانه وتعالى protect us from above. ونعوذ بك بعظمتك أن نختال من تحتنا. And والله سبحانه وتعالى we asking you through your most mubarak name, your most blessed name, your most grand, you asking you through your grandeur, والله سبحانه وتعالى prevent us from being snatched from the bottom. Imagine what a beautiful, comprehensive dua. So these duas that we are learning, they are for all occasions. Every occasion we find that there's such a beautiful dua. We should try and take our time and read these duas, learn some duas. If we don't know, then a very easy way to do it is two famous kitab. One is Al-Hizbul Azam, and the other one is Munajat Maqbool, Hazrat Munajat Anwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So these two kitab we find that are very easy kitab to read, and they have been separated into days. You find it Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it's separated into seven parts. You read one part every day. Inshallah, there's hope it will cover most of these du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that one week, you cover many du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just by us reading these kitabs. Allah forgive us, don't think of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.